good morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with this week's sermon. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love.
When we come into God's presence, we are bringing so much with us, our joys, our worries, our concerns, and the prayers from the deepest of our hearts. So let us go before God in prayer. O Lord, meet us in this place. We know that you are walking alongside us every moment of every day, and we sometimes take that for granted. We thank you, God, for being our creator, for being the air that fills our lungs, for being the sun that warms our face. We thank you for your beautiful creation, for the amazing people that you bring into our lives. We thank you for the parts of this world that cause us to gasp at your beauty, for beautiful sights, for incredible tastes, for blessings uncountable. But Lord, we also thank you for those things that we often let slip past without really realizing they're true blessings from you. Thank you for clean water that we can so easily have to drink. Thank you for warm homes and roofs that shelter us. Thank you for the laughter of children around us. Thank you for life. While we are thankful, we also come with a heart of confession, that while the scripture tells us to worship with gladness, we often do so begrudgingly. We sometimes allow worship to become routine or a habit, and we fail to make our whole life into an act of worship. Oh God, you are worthy of a life of worship. Move in us and inspire us to make everything we do be a way to honor and praise you. May we worship you through our daily interactions. May our words honor you. May our deeds share your love with others. Help us to keep our hearts and minds focused solely on you. Place yourself in the front of our vision from the moment we wake each day. We also confess that we are often self-centered in our prayers and our concerns. We think mostly about our own needs, our own sorrows, and we spend far too little time or energy caring and praying for the needs of others. Give us your eyes, O God, so that we may see the need that is all around us. Help us to see where our gifts might be able to help others and give us the boldness to offer that help. Give us your heart to care for those around us, to see their brokenness and broken hearts, and not to judge, but to nurture and support and love. We do pray now, God, for those who are hurting, for those who are grieving. We lift up those in our church family who have lost loved ones, who have lost sisters or brothers, or even children. God, be with them as they walk through their grief. Comfort them. Give them your strength when they need it. Lord, many of us may be grieving someone dear to us, and so we lift up those who hurt in their loss. We pray for the health needs and struggles in this congregation. Lord, give strength to those who are weak. We pray for answers for those who sit and wait for answers. We pray for healing of mind and body according to your will. And God, on this special Sunday, we lift up those who have served our country so that we could enjoy freedoms that we enjoy every day. Bless our veterans who have had to endure war and bloodshed. Bless those who currently serve in harm's way in our present conflicts. And God, we pray that you would bring your peace over all the earth. Bless all who suffer from the consequences of war. We thank you for the sacrifice that all veterans make and pray your blessing on them. We lift up all of these needs, all of these thanks, and all of these prayers in the name of the one who sacrificed himself on the cross for each of us. We pray together the prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning we turn to our reading. We are turning to the book of Psalms. And someone told me during Bible study this week, they said they couldn't remember a sermon they never heard about Psalms. And so we are excited to begin a new sermon series, just a short one throughout the month of November, called He Has Made Me Glad, focus on Psalm 100. So please turn with me to Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, now that Halloween has passed us, it's time for Christmas, right? Haul out the holly. That's what they say, isn't it? Well, it is what they say. And if you're following the cues all around us, then yes, you're being inundated with Christmas imagery already. It seems that all the TV commercials already have that jingling sleigh bell sound in the background or the twinkling tree behind images of people giving gifts. Whether we want it or not, the Christmas season is being pushed on us. But the rebellious side of me says, no, not yet. Not yet. It's not time for Christmas yet. And I'm someone who loves Christmas. Don't get me wrong. It has its time and place, and that time ain't now. Oh, no. We have started into this big holiday season of the fall and winter, but here at First Christian, we'd like to take some time to give thanks. We'd like to take some time to revel in our gratitude and to look at God and all of God's gifts and wonder and amazement. You know, we've wrapped up three sermon series in a row, Pillars of Faith, Back to Basics, and Created to Be. And all of these series were designed to take us deeper into consideration of our identity as Christ followers. We reflected on who came first and who are the models of faith that we can follow. We looked at the basic building blocks of our faith, and we reminded ourselves that sometimes we need to go back to those basic foundational beliefs and practices, no matter how far along or mature in our faith we get, or how mature in our faith we think we get. We considered who God calls us to be as Christians, and we looked at our core values as a church and how we are called to live those out and become more and more closely devoted to God. Well, that was the hard work, so I think we deserve a break, don't you? I think we should just kick back and worship and celebrate. Well, not quite. Kind of, but not quite. We do want to focus for the next few weeks on worship, on praise, on thanksgiving. But it's not quite time to put our feet up. It's not quite time to take a snooze. In fact, the opposite is true. In our scripture reading this morning, we heard three short verses, and I was a little worried because three verses didn't seem like a lot to go on for a preacher. But it turns out that these three verses were a lot to go on. They were packed, but it turns out it's plenty. The Psalms are a collection of writings and songs and poetry, and they're written by different authors and collected into one book of Psalms. They can be written for lots of different reasons. They may be an individual's song of thanksgiving. They may be a community's lament or their expression of grief as a community. Psalms can be songs of praise. They can be written to celebrate kings and rulers, or they can be songs that are written to encourage thanksgiving and worship of God. And that's what this one is. And while today we are focusing on three short verses, there's a lot to consider in this reading, and there's a lot to take action on. In fact, the whole Psalm 100 is packed with action words, words that are calling us to take an active role and investment in our worship life, words calling us to step up and get busy. So that reflective, laid-back break we imagined, not this time. We are called to do something. So church, let's get busy. Let us make a joyful noise. Imagine that you have something you want to celebrate, and it can be anything in your mind right now. A birthday, a promotion, an awesome musical performance that you've gone to see. Maybe a loved one is receiving an award. And imagine how you want to celebrate that person. How do you go about it? Well, there's always some kind of noise involved, isn't there? Applause or cheering or singing happy birthday. We make noise when we celebrate. So why would worship be any different? Come, let us make a joyful noise. And you may be thinking, well, I don't have any musical talent. Surely this one's not directed at me. But it is. We read, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. That's each and every one of us. And sometimes that may resemble more noise than music, but that's okay. Worship should include our whole selves. Our body, our spirit, our voice should all be involved when we worship God. Some translations of the Bible even translate this as shout with praises. So even those of us whose noise comes out as a shout, you are welcome to raise that up in worship together. But it's not just the making of the noise. It's making a joyful noise. Worshiping God with gladness. And that almost seems kind of countercultural, doesn't it? I mean, we live in a world that is constantly filling our ears and our minds with sad news, bad news, negativity, anger. How on earth are we to come before God with praise and thanksgiving and gladness? We're surrounded by things that are worthy of mourning, of lament, of tears, anxiety. Yet we're told to worship with gladness. Well, last week, Pastor Dave told us that he is the kind of guy who can always look on the bright side. He told us he can find a silver lining in almost every situation. And there are people like that, people who say, it's not that bad. We can figure out a way out of this problem. We can find a solution. But there are also plenty of people who struggle to think like that. There are many people who can't see a way out of troubles, who don't automatically put a positive spin on life. And so how do those people find reason to celebrate? How do those of us whose minds automatically go to worst-case scenarios find time to celebrate? How do we see the world as a place worthy of celebration? Well, we may not feel like we can celebrate the world around us, but we can be reminded that God is always good, that those destructive forces in life do not come from a God who is love. The God who is love is who is worthy of celebrating. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Let us be glad in our Maker, in spite of war. Let us make a joyful noise to the Lord, in spite of murder. Let us be glad in the presence of the divine, in spite of depression and illness. Let us look any evil in the eye and make a joyful noise, shouting praises to our God of love. Because God is still God after all. And God is still good. You know, we worship a lot of things besides God. And before you start working on your argument in your head with me, just give me a minute and think about this with me. We worship a lot of different things and people and concepts, but we use different words for it. We carefully save the word worship for God, but we treat many things in our life and very similarly to how we devote ourselves in religious worship. Think about how you show loyalty, for example, to your favorite sports team. And I'm sorry, somebody told me I shouldn't have chose Duke. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. I just picked a picture that was people celebrating, so forgive me, overlook that. But think about how we celebrate our teams. We wear their clothes. We watch their games. We spend our money to go to the games. We cheer and yell and sing their theme songs. We talk to others about our support of the team. We're disappointed when they lose a game, and we nearly mourn when they're completely out of the final tournament. We basically worship them, but we never use that word. We may call it team spirit or support or maybe even devotion, but isn't it kind of the same thing? And I'm not just picking on sports fans. This exact same scenario can be looked at as we consider how we feel about our favorite band. Some people will travel the country, spending tons and tons of hours and tons of money to follow their favorite band from place to place. Think about how we consider and rally for our politicians that we support. We have so many things that we support, and who and what we choose to spend our time and energy supporting says a lot about us. So what do you spend your time supporting? If someone who didn't know you were to look at your daily schedule, were to kind of get a glimpse into your life, what would they see as important to you? If they looked at how you spend your days and what takes up all of your mental energy, where would they see your allegiance? Maybe your time is devoted mostly to your family, hours and hours spent taking care of the house and the children, making clothes or buying clothes, grocery shopping, cooking, all things to care for your family. Or maybe the minute you get home from work, you settle yourself into the recliner and you turn on political commentary and you hear it all day until you go to bed. Maybe after work, you go straight to happy hour with friends and you spend the whole evening with friends. Maybe you go straight home from work and you spend the day in quiet, reflective solitude in prayer. Perhaps you stay up way too late into the night, the world of online shopping drawing you in and convincing you to spend more than you should. And speaking of spending, what if that same person who was being nosy and peeking in, what if they peeked at our spending? What would that tell them? What if they saw how we spent every dollar? Because what we spend our money on is an indication of what is important to us. If you find it worthy of spending on, then clearly it's something of value to you. So what if that person looked at every dollar and drew conclusions about what's important to you based on your spending? What would they find? What would be the items or the parts of life that demand the most of your attention and your financial support? Does that truly speak to what you value most? Well, my guess is that most of us would hope that our lives and our habits, our spending and our time would all point directly to God. I think most of us would desire that to be the focus of our lives. But I would also guess that many of us, myself included, would confess that we often fall far short of our goals of faithfulness. We may confess, for example, I pray, but I don't pray nearly as much as I wish I did, nearly as much as I should. Or we may confess that I don't really think about church any time except for Sunday and the Saturday night, the night before, to figure out what to wear. We may confess that, yes, I love the Lord, but then we spend our time drinking too much or cursing too much or living a life that points in other directions. Often our actions and what we show to the world may tell a different story than what we would proclaim from our heart. Our heart would say, my life is for God, but then our lifestyle choices do not reflect that. What we choose to worship says a lot about us. Now, please know that I'm not saying any of this to make anyone feel guilty or point an accusatory finger. I promise that's not my goal. My hope this morning, though, is to encourage each of us to consider the lives that we're living, the way that we choose to use ourselves, our time, and our resources, the way that we demonstrate to the world what our values are, how to express to others what is worthy of our worship. Now, this particular psalm may not proclaim any groundbreaking theology. It may not give us any radical new ideas, or it may not teach us much of anything. It may serve just as a reminder to each of us to keep the name of God on our lips and on our hearts at all times. It can be a reminder to make a joyful noise, each and every one of us. It can be a reminder that when we proclaim our words and actions, what we put out there shares with others what we value and what we have deemed worthy of praise and worship. It can be a reminder that when we worship God, we are to do so with joy in our hearts. That when we worship, we should do so with singing. We need reminders sometimes. And while each of us would like to be strong in the faith, tied to faithful worship and prayer and Bible study, sometimes we need a reminder from someone who has gone before and lived the faith. Let us worship God with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. You know, faith isn't human-led, it's Holy Spirit-led. But we have to show up. We have to come. We have to be here instead of anywhere else. Rather than sleeping in and reading the Sunday paper on the couch, you all are here. I hear that Sunday is a brunch day, and maybe you're going out after church, but first, you made a priority to be here. Sunday, the weekend, is a great time to get things done around the house, and maybe you'll do that later, but first, you made a priority to be here. How we choose to spend our time, how we choose to come into this place, says a lot. Come, the scripture says, come into God's presence. And apparently we are encouraged to make an entrance. He's, ta-da, I'm here, I'm coming with singing and praise. We're here to worship. And more than just physically being here and literally singing, let's take this as a reminder to check our hearts and our heads. What are we bringing with us when we come to this place? Are we bringing with us the argument we had the night before? Are we carrying the burden of a loved one who is not getting better yet? Are we bringing the shame over a past mistake? And are we bringing all that and laying it at God's feet to make space in our head and our heart for worship? Or are we sitting passively through service after service, our mind running through all those problems and through the to-do list. And oh, by the way, did I close the garage door on the way to church? Are we singing and are we preparing ourselves to be presented before God, open and willing to experience and participate and create worship? Come into God's presence, one foot in front of the other. Let us come and present ourselves. Come with singing. Let us know that the Lord is God. Let us know that God made us, that we are God's people, and that we are sheep in God's pasture. This simple reminder of God's hand being present in our creation and in our care brings us back to the heart of why we worship. There may very well be days when you're absolutely miserable and you can't think of a single thing to be thankful for. And on those days, you can remind yourself of these calm, simple facts. God created me exactly as I am. God gave me unique talents and skills and even flaws. This is on purpose. This was designed just like this by God. God cares for us as a shepherd cares for his or her flock, feeding them, leading them, finding the ones who stray. God is that for us. Could there be any more reason to sing and shout and worship? I can only think of one reason more, and that is God's incredible love. That was so great, so vast, so incomprehensible that God sent his only Son in human form to live among humanity, to teach, to struggle, to be challenged, to lead and inspire, and to suffer for each and every one of us. There is no better reason than that to come into God's presence in worship. Let us know that the Lord is God, and let us share that not only with ourselves and with our church, but let us share that with others. This is not news to keep to ourselves. It is news to be proclaimed, not only in worship, but throughout our whole lives. Remember those people we were imagining kind of peeking into our life, how we spend our time, how we spend our day and our finances. Do they see a life that's made different because we are God's? Has the good news of Jesus Christ changed us from the inside out, and has it changed how we live, how we behave, how we spend, and how we love? Do we give more than we receive? Do we forgive others? Do we carefully guard our tongues, and do we ask forgiveness when we make mistakes? Are we living out worship on a daily basis through the way that we live our lives? Make noise. Shout. Worship, come and know. Worship is not passive. It is not entertainment. It's not bonus. It's not the fluffy, feel-good part of religion. This is where we connect with our God, and it's action. Psalm 100 shows us just how active worship is. Make noise and shout. Worship, come and know. May this psalm be a reminder to you today and all days to take an active role in your worship. Do not worry what others think, to sing with all your heart, to express your adoration and fear and love and burden and praise vibrantly, actively, loudly, because worship is a verb. And church, it's time to get busy. Let's pray. Almighty God, you call us to be active in our faith. You call us to move, to make noise, to shout, to come into your presence with singing. God, encourage us even on those days when we struggle to find joy, to find our joy in you. Encourage us to praise you, to worship you actively, not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout our every day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BurlingtonDOC. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.